This is part four in a series of shiurim intended to create exposure to some of the 10 Harugei Malchus, the 10 Jewish leaders who were brutally murdered by the Romans during a 70 or 60 year period, commencing with possibly a few years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash and concluding with the Bar Kokhba rebellion in the years 132, 134. We recite a kinnah on Tisha B'Av to memorialize them, as well as a slicha on Yom Kippur. This year we'll describe Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. But this is not the Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel who we learn of so much in Shas and whose statements are so often recorded as part of Machloksin. And to differentiate this Rabbi Shimon, who was actually the grandfather of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, the one that we're more familiar with, this Rabbi Shimon, who was one of the 10 martyrs, the 10 Harugei Malchus, is typically referred to as Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Hazakein, or Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, who died al Kiddush Hashem. His father was Rabbi Gamliel Hazakein, again, to distinguish him from the younger Rabbi Gamliel, who was Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, the elder's son. So just to give you a sense of the Masara, Hillel had a son named Shimon. Hillel, the famous Hillel of Beis Hillel. Hillel's son Shimon had a son named Rabbi Gamliel. We don't know too much about Shimon as being part of the Chazal or part of the great academies of learning. Shimon had a son named Rabbi Gamliel Hazakein. Rabbi Gamliel Hazakein had a son named Shimon, who was Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Hazakein, who we refer to as Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel the Elder, who was killed. Then Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel's son was Rabbi Gamliel, the famous Nasi. And then Rabbi Gamliel's son was Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, the one that we're more familiar with. So that's a sense of the lineage of the various generations. Is Hillel, Shimon, Gamliel Hazakein, Shimon ben Gamliel Hazakein, Gamliel, the well-known Rabbi Gamliel, and then Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, the well-known Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. And of course, you've already guessed it. This is a family of aristocracy. The Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, the elder, was appointed a Nasi 18 years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So that's around 52-ish, the year 52 AD. He sees the second Beis HaMikdash. Just to keep in mind, they're not just aristocracy in their own right, but he has a daughter. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Hazakein has a daughter named Ima Shilya, who marries Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus. So there's a lot of connection between the lineage of the Nasi, this whole family tracing themselves down from Hillel, to Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, who was one of Rabbi Akiva's Rebbeim. The Gemara says, again, just to give you the sense, Hillel Shimon Gamliel B'Shimon, which means Hillel the First, Shimon, the son of Hillel. Again, we don't have too many statements in the Gemara from Gamliel Hazakein. And Shimon, the Gemara says, Nahagu Nesiyos B'fnei Abayis Me'ashanim. So these were the last four Nesiyim to serve before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. He probably dies from Shimon Gamliel early on, so he's probably one of the earliest, and he's affiliated with Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha and the famous story of them being taken to be executed jointly together. He dies is executed in that Meret HaGadol, the great rebellion surrounding the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. He's typically associated with some of the more moderate leaders who were trying to oppose the young vigilantes who wanted to fight Rome and the Roman Empire at all costs, not just to defy their decrees, as some of the later Tanaim did, like Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Hanania ben Trajan, but to actually oppose them militarily. And in this respect, he's affiliated with another well-known moderate, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who actually takes over the Nesios when he's executed. We don't have too many statements in the name of this Rabbi Shimon Hazakein. Probably the most famous statement, at least in a non-halachic standpoint, is when he says in Pirkei Avos, it's recorded in Pirkei Avos, Kol Yamai Gidalti, I grew up in the house of the Nasi, because his father, Rabbi Gamliel Hazakein, was the Nasi. And basically he was exposed to a lot of leaders, a lot of celebrities, a lot of Talmidei Chachamim, and he said, I realize that the most important trait a person can acquire is the trait of silence and listening and observing others rather than speaking and projecting yourself. He was very well known for his feats at Simchas Beis HaShoeva. He would
juggle 10 different torches or 8 torches of fire at once. So he's a very adept at juggling. He did some form of push-ups or headstands where he put his fingernails into the ground of the Azara and performed some acrobatics. And there's a very interesting, and I wouldn't say controversial, but halakhically intriguing moment in which the people who sold pigeons in Yerushalayim were escalating the prices, were jacking up the prices, and women who had to purchase, and primarily women who have to purchase these doves or these pigeons to offer korbanos after they give birth, and they were becoming prohibitive. So he essentially bent the halacha in order to diminish, through halachic machinery, halachic logic, the amount of birds that women would have to sacrifice, and thereby less demand, less price. So he played the market to the favor of women who would otherwise be precluded from affording these jacked up prices for pigeons and doves. And there's an interesting conversation whether he was just flexing halacha. Someone claimed he actually suspended halacha, but he suspended the halacha for the sake of halacha itself, because women would ultimately cease to bring their kabbana. So in order to keep the halacha intact, he felt that he had to alter some of the halacha. Anyway, as I said before, he's associated in his execution with Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha Kohen Gadol. They're taken to be murdered together. They have a conversation. We have two conversations recorded between them, and these conversations at the point of execution are always very intriguing and in many cases inspiring. One conversation is where they're probing why they were killed, and it's interesting because it's Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, who had ascended to Shemayim and had heard in Shemayim that the reason for this execution was the sale of Yosef and the civil war between the brothers. But evidently, they wanted to probe more fully why were they chosen, why were they selected amongst all the other Rabbanim, and they wondered to each other, maybe they had delayed serving the halachic requests of an almana, thereby causing her pain and suffering and uncertainty, and reminds us that Rabbanim have to be particularly expeditious in processing questions that could really affect people's lives or their mental or emotional state, and maybe they were being brought to task for tarrying in that respect. The more familiar conversation is that neither wanted to see the other murdered. They felt that one was a Nasi, one was a Kohen Gadol. They shouldn't have to bear witness to this grotesque execution. So essentially they threw a lottery, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel received the decree first, and they decapitated him. And what's interesting is that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra received the news, and they're part of the later group of Asara Harugei Malchus. They received the news of this murder of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel HaZaken, and essentially they're able to connect the dots and realize that these first two brutal murders, the first two of the Asara Harugei Malchus, are telling signs that this is not just a blood libel or a pogrom or a persecution or attack, but this is Esav gaining the upper hand, launching the great night of Jewish galus, and that more was to come, and of course Rabbi Akiva himself would bear it on his flesh. But these first two deaths were the telltale sign that this wasn't just an attack or an assault in a localized fashion, but it was a shift in history. And especially since it occurred in such proximity to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Remember, these are people that are living through the Churban Beis HaMikdash and at relatively older age. Rabbi Akiva is a younger generation, so they realized that this was the shift that they had waited for, and that they weren't waiting for, but that they understood was built into the historical fabric.